Any team that's tested AI tools for data has seen the pattern already. AI gives a different number than your BI tool. Metrics don't match across teams. And inevitably, users lose trust. It turns out, turning on AI is easy, but making it work on data is not. Hex AI was built to solve this. The key is nailing context. Hex is built to unify and curate your data context for agents. Data teams can observe, govern, and continuously improve every AI answer, so answers get smarter the more your team asks. The result? Your entire organization asks data questions in natural language and trusts the answers. Not because the AI got lucky, because it knows your business and its data. Because that's what an AI analytics platform should do. Join data teams from Cursor, Lovable, Ramp, AWS, and over 2,000 more at hex.ai.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking a look around the AFC, and to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Joe Biscaglia from The Athletic, who covers the Buffalo Bills. Joe, what's going on? How are you?
I'm great, guys. Good morning to you.
Good morning to you. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So, Joe, let's just start here. It was obviously such a heartbreaking end to the season last year for the Bills against Kansas City. And I think a lot of people feel like this is the team that's going to get the job done and get them over the top. Is that the main vibe that you're getting out of Buffalo, that people feel like this is the year for Josh Allen and the Bills?
Yeah, I mean, this is as talented of a roster as they might ever see with Josh Allen, because he's still not quite into the portion of his contract where the entire thing just balloons. He's still around like the $20 million mark. Next year it goes into the 40s, so they still had some flexibility for the season to be able to keep such a talented roster, because if you look up and down the squad, like up and down the starting lineup, you're like, okay, there's not a ton of weaknesses. I mean, there's a few things you can poke holes in, but for the most part, this is a well put together roster, and they definitely addressed some of their weaknesses from last year. One of their biggest weaknesses was the defensive line and not being able to generate enough pressure to bring down the opposing quarterback. And they go out and they basically reformat 62.5% of their defensive line rotation. They bring in Von Miller as their marquee pass rusher. They bring in three new defensive tackles, all of which able to get into the pocket and be able to bring down the quarterback. So I think the front office is excited about this roster. The coaching staff is trying to keep things in perspective. But yeah, I think everyone around town kind of knows that this is one of the best rosters that they will with Josh Allen as the quarterback.
Yeah, it looks like a tremendous team, Joe. I'm interested in some offensive linemen, both former Titans and also, I guess, maybe future Titans. It's gotten so bad here at right tackle that people are wondering if Bobby Hart may be out there. But I'm wondering about him, David Questenberry, and then also Roger Saffold. I think is a big loss for the Titans. And I know the Bills want to run the ball better. What would you say about those guys at this point after a few weeks?
Yeah, Saffold is, after not being able to start training camp, due to a ribs injury that he sustained in a car crash. He's been back for a few weeks now. He's now fully integrated into team drills, and it seems like that is now behind him. They're locked in starting left guard, and he's done a really nice job so far. So they're very excited to have him, because that was the guard position was a bit of a weakness last year for most of the year until they got to the end of the season. And even then, like, Darrell Williams wasn't all that great, and they wound up moving on from him. But as for the other two guys, Questenberry, he has turned into their top reserve lineman, whether it be at right tackle, at left tackle, at inside at guard. He is their top reserve in their minds, and he's done a really nice job, especially because he has taken a ton of first team reps throughout the summer due to various injuries. And you know, their starting right tackle, the second year kid, Spencer Brown, he went through some offseason back surgery, so it's kind of been a slow ramp up process, and Quisenberry has been getting all that time with the one, so he's safe. And then Bobby Hart, I mean, he has played his way onto the roster. I would be very surprised, because he's done a little bit at tackle, a little bit at guard. I would be very surprised if they moved on from him for final cut. So the guys that are maybe on the bubble right now are guys like Greg Van Roten, Greg Manns. So it's probably not what Titans fans are looking to hear if they're looking for a right tackle.
Probably not. Joe Biscaglia from The Athletic on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So some troubling news yesterday, Joe, as it relates to the Bills. Matt Areza, along with a couple other teammates at San Diego State, among three accused in a rape lawsuit. Obviously, his attorneys have come out and have denied that. How do you think the Bills handle this situation moving forward?
Well, I think there's a couple of different factors to it, because they recently made the decision, because they had a punting competition between Areza and Matt Hawk, who just recently signed with the Colts. And the big wonder when it initially came out was, okay, were the Bills aware when they made this decision? And from some reporting from my colleague at The Athletic, Tim Graham, he has sources that say that the Bills were aware, that they were made aware of it ahead of the decision to go with Matt Hawk. And the statement that they put through said that they were recently made aware of the civil complaint involving Areza from the time of the incident, the alleged incident in October 2021, and they said that they conducted a thorough examination of the matter and that they're not going to have another comment to this point. So they haven't really done anything else besides that. They have a preseason game down in Carolina this evening, and Sean McDermott will be he'll be made available to the media, as he is at every game. He's also going to talk with the media tomorrow at 3:00. So that will be a time where we maybe hear a little bit more from them. But they have been silent since then. From every indication, I mean, there haven't been any transactions that they've moved on from Areza to this point. And it's just a matter of, okay, what is their next step? Because, you know, there's obviously public perception issues that they need to really take a good thinking. They really need to come together and think about what is best for the franchise here. And you know, they said they conducted that thorough examination, but they really need to handle this situation with care, because this is a disturbing allegation against a rookie punter, and they need to be really careful with this one.
Yeah, Joe, and I mean, in Tim's story, it mentions that the young woman, who of course was a 17-year-old girl at the time, high school student, went to police mm-hmm. the next day, and mm-hmm. that the investigation there is ongoing. So for people who think this is just a civil suit, I mean, apparently it's not. Like, there still could be, you know, criminal charges filed here. So in terms of, you know, where this could go, I guess, for the Bills, I mean, how I guess, damaging could this be even for this season and team potentially?
Yeah, I mean, it is a potential, like, dark cloud that will remain over the roster if they do not deal with this properly. And there has been a really large outcry from a lot of fans on Twitter that want him cut. And since he is a rookie punter, then, I mean, you know, it's not really something that they have to protect this person, and really shouldn't matter what position they play or anything like that, when it's as damning of allegations as it is. Like just going through the court documents, it's a really tough read. It is a tough read to stomach, and I know some of it has gotten out there on Twitter on screenshots, and it is very disturbing. And you know, it's early in the morning, so I'm not going to get into the specifics of it, but this is a bad situation. So the Bills need to be very careful because they had a lot of momentum in terms of people in the area feeling good about this roster. And, you know, they shouldn't want anything to take away from that. And that shouldn't even be the main reason that they act in a certain way. They just need to do the right thing. I think that's what falls so hollow throughout a lot of the NFL with these situations, you know, the wanting to protect a player and, you know, going through your evaluations and examining the case however you see fit. But there's also the matter of like how it's going to make people feel. And I think they need to be cognizant of all of these different things. Definitely not an easy situation for them because they just decided on the rookie punter, but it's one that they really can't dawdle around with. And they need to figure things out quickly here.
The last thing for you here, how good do you think this offense can be with Josh Allen and company this year?
Yeah, it can be a really explosive offense. They have a lot of pieces that they've added. You know, Gabriel Davis turns into, I think, one of their top second receiving options that they've had since Josh Allen has been their starting quarterback. They added James Cook as a threat out of the backfield, and having that explosive potential running back out of the backfield is something that this offense just hasn't had. They feel like this is a better offensive line than they've had in the past few years, a lot more athletic, and being able to implement some more zone blocking and some more pin and pull stuff than maybe some of their more power-based blockers that they had on the team before. So there's a lot of reason for optimism for this offense, but the one thing that I think everyone has to be kind of cognizant is that they're going to be having a first-time play caller in Ken Dorsey running the show, and it's some pretty big shoes to fill, especially when Brian Daboll did such a great job both developing Josh Allen and, you know, putting this offense in a position to be one of the most dynamic in the NFL. Now it goes on to someone who is a smart guy by all means, and everyone knows Ken Dorsey's pedigree as a college player and what he did at the University of Miami and how he's worked his way up throughout the NFL in the coaching ranks. But this is still a different situation when you have a first-time play caller in that position for, you know, what many people believe to be the Super Bowl favorite. So that's one area where things could go awry. But from a talent perspective, they are going to be fun to watch this season, and they're going to try to mix it up a little bit more.
Joe, great stuff. Really appreciate you taking time to join us this morning, and we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds great, gentlemen. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks, Joe Biscaglia from The Athletic, our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. We'll take your thoughts, 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. More on the AFC coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexro, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 1025-1063 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. I got some tickets to give away, a pair of tickets to see Spoon at the Ryman Auditorium coming up on Sunday, September 4th. Be caller number 3 at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win a pair of tickets to see Spoon at the Ryman Auditorium coming up on Sunday, September 4th, 615-737-1025. Thanks to Joe Biscaglia from The Athletic for joining us in the last segment. Joe, it kind of feels like this is the year for the Buffalo Bills. And I do wonder, when you're the Super Bowl favorite, when you're viewed as the team to beat, how do you handle that? I mean, for the last few years in the AFC, it's been Kansas City that's kind of been the one that's viewed that way. And they're still certainly in that category. There's a couple different teams you can look at. There's a lot of teams in the AFC I think can win a Super Bowl. But I think Buffalo is the favorite at the moment. How do you go about handling that? And as Joe pointed out in the last segment, probably not going to find a more talented group for the Buffalo Bills than you will this year with Josh Allen and the money that he's going to make down the road.
Right. No, I mean, it's to me, I think this is the clear favorite to win it and to win the Super Bowl. I really do. Based on, and Josh Allen is better than I ever would have guessed that he would become. It is a great point by Joe about play caller OC, though. And that is, if it doesn't work out, I think that's where a lot of people are going to focus. And it's understandable around here. It's 1 year. And there are a lot of other things involved, including Tannehill's just own performance. But, boy, does he look different in Nashville so far with Arthur Smith as his OC and with Arthur Smith not as his OC. And so Brian Daboll obviously coming in here with the Giants week one. How much do they feel that loss? But I also don't expect Josh Allen to fall off the table. And I think that a lot of the work that Daboll did sticks, right? That's what you assume. I thought Josh Allen – even as a pick, I didn't like it. And then as a rookie, remember the Titans went down there, and that dude couldn't throw an accurate 15-yard pass downfield that day. They somehow
he was
won.
Awful his rookie year.
He was horrific. I mean, they won that game because Nick Williams drops a touchdown pass from Mariota, and because Josh Allen was able to like goad the Titans into a personal foul out of bounds on a run. I mean, like, seriously, I was like, this is just gonna be a terrible pick for them. So he's to me the ultimate example of and I think for the most part it's true. Like, you're not really gonna change someone's shot form at a certain age. You're not really gonna dramatically increase someone's quarterback's accuracy at a certain age. He's proof that, you know, you can rework things and actually really change someone over, even post college and while they're professionals. But if he plays like he did for most of last year, and then as Joe broke down some of the additions, and then I think their defense looks salty. I mean, I think this is the best team.
Not great news if you're a Titans fan wanting a Buffalo Bills offensive lineman. It sounds like three former Titans going to be of significant use to them this year with Saffold, David Questenberry, and our good friend Bobby Hart as well.
That was really interesting. And especially the first of all, the Bobby Hart aspect of it, you know, the fact that sounds like he's a lock to make the team. So he's, I guess, not going to be passed to different teams this year, perhaps. But the Questenberry, too. The Questenberry is their clear six lineman and has been getting a lot of ones reps. You know, it's just interesting. You look back at the Titans now, and it's like, okay, so are they going to be better at right tackle than they were with Questenberry last year?
That's interesting. I mean, I was looking through Biscaglia's Twitter, and 2 days ago, there was a question to Sean McDermott of how much has Bobby Hart improved, and McDermott's response was, quote, immensely. So now Bobby Hart, that sounds to me, it kind of supports what he was talking about there, that he's definitely going to be a part of this team. So, you know, for as far as familiar guys, you're looking around and saying, huh, I look more and more at that David Questenberry contract and like, maybe they should have picked him back up and brought it back in here.
Well, and then Dennis Kelly before that.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Bills have all the linemen the Titans want. Cause I absolutely believe for the Kappa's fake crowd, you know who you are, that the Titans, if they didn't have to do so, they had to make a couple cuts. And I think Saffold is absolutely the definition of cap casualty. Just like Teron Armstead in New Orleans, they absolutely would love to have him still as their left tackle. I mean, there are cap casualties still in this league, even though the cap is very flexible. And I think the Titans would gladly have Roger Saffold. And look, if you want to go back before that, I think the Titans would gladly be paying Jack Conklin right now. You know, if there was really no cap to worry about, and they'd have a much better offensive line.
Where is Josh Allen for you in terms of best quarterbacks in the NFL? Because I think he's ascending. There's guys like Burrow coming up, Herbert coming up, Mahomes is there, Rodgers is there, Tom Brady. Where's Josh Allen fit into that mix in your mind?
Good question. And now that you asked me that question, I'm interested to see, do you remember where he ended up in Sandoz tiers?
I don't. I assume he's a tier one guy. I don't know exactly where.
Because I would have guessed, that maybe, no, he did. So this year is his first year tier one with Sando. So if you go by the GMs, you know, Rodgers, Mahomes, Brady, and then Allen. You know, the GMs put him next. And I think a big thing with that is just, look, it's not his fault that his defense freaking gave up an entire game in 2 seconds. I mean, that was a legendary Josh Allen moment for a team that was going to go to the Super Bowl. Although I say that, and I know Bengals fans will get mad to hear that, but like that was a moment, and somehow he goes home after that. So I guess I could buy that. Mahomes, Rodgers, Brady, you know, and then Josh Allen. I mean, I will say that I hesitate still, like with to me, Josh Allen and Joe Burrow, I hesitate, and I'm not convinced that Joe Burrow, when it's all said and done, both careers, like I think I might cast my lot with Joe Burrow's career.
Agreed.
I think he's so special. But he's also, you know, Joe Burrow is a guy who's already had some injuries. He's got this and that going on, and he's not the athlete that Josh Allen is. So it's very close. But I think that's probably your top five, right?
I think so. And I'm interested to see how that plays out and maybe shifts a little bit this year as the season moves along. Coming up next, there's a pretty interesting development yesterday in a practice between the Rams and the Bengals. We'll get to that coming up next, including could a premier player in the league be facing a suspension because of it? All that ahead. Make sure you join Joe Dubin and Elijah Campbell tonight for the Apple Collision Center's Game Blitz presented by National Playmakers Academy from 6 to midnight. They'll preview the big games and then take you through the night of high school football around the mid-state. It's the Apple Collision Center's Game Blitz presented by National Playmakers Academy on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
What's going on out there?
Assault. Assault.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Interesting day yesterday, Joe, Rex Road at Rams and Bengals practice. A kerfuffle of sorts broke out between the Rams and the Bengals. Now, there are apparently a couple of minor pushing and shoving matches that took place before the big one yesterday. Then all of a sudden, all hell broke loose as the Rams defense was out there against Cincinnati's offense. And a big scrum ensues. There's pushing and shoving and punching left and right. And all of a sudden, with the video that we've seen out there, Joe, you look around and Aaron Donald's got a Cincinnati Bengals helmet in his hand and he's swinging it around left and right. Aaron Donald eventually gets pushed to the ground and has the Bengals helmet with him as he falls to the ground. And then Sean McVay and Zach Taylor call practice. Practice is over with at that point. And that was that. And I guess they move on from there. It is interesting because Myles Garrett got suspended 6 games a few years ago for taking his helmet and hitting Mason Rudolph over the top of the head with it. Now, that was in an actual game. And typically when fights like this happen at practice, the NFL usually leaves it up to the teams themselves to determine what a punishment should or should not be. So, Joe, with that being the case, I don't expect anything to happen to Aaron Donald here because I doubt very seriously the Rams are going to be like, you know what? I think we should probably suspend Aaron Donald for 5 to 6 games because of what he did in the Bengals practice. But it is interesting. Like, he is swinging a helmet around out there at people. So what do you make of this situation yesterday at Rams practice with Aaron Donald? And do you think there's a chance that anything actually comes from this?
I think something should come from this. And that's it's a little different. Obviously, there was the Garrett Rudolph thing. There was more contact than I could tell on this, although it's kind of hard to tell from the videos I've seen. That is horribly dangerous and ridiculous behavior. And I know it's also maybe it's a fool's errand to sit here and talk about the NFL jumping in and doing a great job of disciplining someone, but I feel like this is warranted interjection by the NFL right here. Because like you said, the Rams sure as hell aren't going to do anything. I mean, that's dangerous. And fights happen, and they happen. And I mean, more of these, very few of these joint practices go all the way through without some kind of pushing, shoving, even sometimes punching a little bit. I mean, it happened here briefly between the Bucs and the Titans. But what I saw in that video, I think he should get at least a couple games of suspension from the NFL.
I think you should, too. I mean, you can't just go around swinging helmets at people. And, look, I realize that, you know, the other people have helmets on, too. But you can't just start swinging at people. Like, it's one thing to get in a fight at a preseason practice. Like, that happens. It's a very common thing. Usually the coaches do a good job of getting in there and break it up before it gets too far out of control. I will say, this was a pretty good one yesterday in terms of this, even, you know, the helmet aside. It was a pretty good brawl out there yesterday between the Rams and the Bengals. But you can't just allow people to run around and swinging helmets at people left and right. Like, I think he should be suspended. I just have zero confidence that that's going to happen in this situation. Absolutely zero.
Yeah, well, it's not exactly a great time for the NFL. I'm sure the NFL, you know, is would love to have a little time off from being asked to, you know. And now, by the way, this horrific situation with Ariza and Buffalo. Oh, which again, that's, I mean, I reading between the lines of what Joe said on the segment to me, man, I understand it's an investigation ongoing, but if you read the details, including like Ariza telling this girl to check for venereal diseases, which was part of a police interview or part of an interview that she did that was supervised. I mean, You better cut that guy. But so the NFL is looking at that situation now too, and a mess, just awful. But yeah, I think you're probably right that nothing comes of this. I think that I think it should. It's going to be interesting to see if, because that really is really, really dangerous. I mean, Aaron Donald, the force he brings already, and now he's swinging a helmet. I don't understand. I mean, that's crazy to me that, and think about the deal that was made, understandably so, that night with Myles Garrett and Mason Rudolph.
Yeah.
I, in fact, the next day, I was filling in for Floyd, and Jared and I legitimately talked for all 4 hours about that moment.
Yeah. It's kind of incredible. But yeah, you did. And it's, look, I mean, for Aaron Donald, like, I understand you get heated, and look, this is not the first time that Aaron Donald has been involved in, not necessarily something like this, but you know, he's been involved in some pushing and shoving and some brawls before in practice for the Rams. You know, it's no different from the standpoint of Jeffrey Simmons tends to be involved with the Titans as well. I've never seen Jeffrey Simmons swing a helmet. Like, I understand it's emotional and you're in a situation where you're, you know, emotions are running high and you're trying to win a fight. You can't just go around. You got to have more control over yourself and swinging helmets left and right. So, like, if you're Sean McVay today, realizing that you're probably not going to suspend your best player, I am interested to see, like, what sort of a – like, what does Sean McVay do in this situation? Is there anything you can do that really makes that big of a difference? Because this is unacceptable behavior from Aaron Donald. You can't just go around swinging helmets left and right.
Here's what Sean McVay will do. He will rationalize not disciplining Aaron Donald.
Yeah.
Or, you know, yeah, he's suspended for a couple practices. Yeah, that'll be. But to your point, yeah, Jeffrey Simmons, every time one of these things happens, and Jeffrey Simmons plays on the edge, it's part of why he's a great player, but every time one of these practices happens, just watch 98, because if anything's going to flare up, it's probably going to be right around where he is. But I would never expect him to be swinging a helmet at someone.
No.
I mean, I guess I'd like to see everything that preceded that. And not to say that anything would excuse it, but I guess I'd still like to have a little more context on all that went on. But, like, how do you get to the point where you're doing that. Like at any level of football, you know, fights happen. And some of the dumbest things are when people are punching guys who have their helmets on, right?
It's my favorite thing in sports.
Yeah, it's like, don't do that. But to get to the point where you're wildly swinging that thing around, you could – I mean, I don't want to be too dramatic here, but you really could, with that kind of strength as a human being, could kill someone.
Yeah.
If you hit someone, an unhelmeted person with a helmet with the kind of force that you have in your body, you could kill someone. And that's to me, that just shouldn't be completely overlooked here.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Adam from Portland. Adam, what's going on?
Robbie Joe, what's up, buddy? Man, I hope you guys have a good weekend. There's a part of this that's not being spoken of, and I think it's really important, which is what was said to Aaron Donald? Because that is insanely impressive that you can get somebody who's so important and making so much money to go feral like that, just snap and, you know, start, you know, throwing care to the wind. I'm just going to kill this person right now with a helmet. Like, that is a skill to be able to make somebody break like that. Like, I think whoever it is, like, that should be trained. Like, if you can get people to act out like that, they're not going to play their best football. So, I'm looking at it from that point of view. I'm like, God, that dude said something to him. I want to know what it is.
Hey, thanks for the call, Adam. I mean, to your point, Joe, like, I would like to know what preceded it, but there's not really much out there that could have preceded it that you look around and say, all right, yeah, just start swinging that helmet left and right. By the way, Aaron on the text line says, Aaron Donald will be suspended for the final preseason game that he wasn't going to play in anyway. That could that may be what happens.
There you go. That's McVay's. We're going to suspend him for a game. Which game? Well, I mean, we've got a game. Got a game this weekend.
Got a game this weekend, man. He's not going to play.
Sit your butt down. He was going to play a whole half, at least. Yes, we've got a few responses like that on the text line. Yes, I like it.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, look, Aaron Donald's a great player. It's not a great look for Aaron Donald. Hopefully it's a one-time thing, and this is the last time something like this ever happens. But, you know, I understand the policy if you're the NFL. Like normal training camp fights, I probably agree with it. Just let the teams handle it. To me, this doesn't really fall under the purview of a normal training camp fight. Like, I think at some point, like, it may behoove the NFL to step in and be like, we're not going to tolerate anybody swinging helmets. We don't care if it's at practice, in a game, in a preseason game, on the way out of the tunnel onto the practice field. You start swinging helmets and there's video of it, we're going to step in and do something about it. That probably needs to be the policy by the NFL.
Right. And people are replying to the text line correctly. You know, the CBA dictates practice stuff, handled by teams. I think when there's footage of things like this, I think that, the NFL oversteps all the time and does whatever it wants to do all the time. So I think that there'd be some support for some level of NFL involvement. I mean, maybe it's even someone calling, the Rams and saying, look, you guys got to give him a couple games for this, you know? And, of course, the Rams do not want to do that at all. But I hope that this doesn't just go away. Because, like, when you go back to the Myles Garrett thing, a big part of that discussion then was, like, something has to be a deterrent to this. Because they worked out okay. Mason Rudolph was okay. But, like, there's got to be something really big here to deter this from ever happening. It's insane to me that people would ever have the impulse of swinging their helmet at other people. Like, you got to make it so that they know there is no way you can even think about doing that, even though they should already know that because of the damage it can do.
Tune in for Nashville Sounds baseball tonight at 5:35 on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds are on the road taking on the Durham Bulls, the AAA affiliate of the Tampa Bay Rays. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza and Farm Bureau Health Plans. We'll have Caleb Farley, Titans cornerback, coming up at 8 o'clock here on the show. Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You're listening to Robbie and Rexroad here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Z- The time is now for the Rex Rant.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
On Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
The driving cat, the cat who could drive a car. He drives around.
And it is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexrode here on 102.5 The Game. You can catch it every morning at 7:45 here on the program. Joe Rexrode, a big day, big week full of Rex Rants for you. I turn things over to you.
Yeah, you guys are rant-free this week. I'm glad life's just going wonderful for you two.
It's been a pretty good week, man.
Oh, just get great. It out, Rexrode.
A bully for you. So less than 5 hours from now, we have our window. You get a half hour window at Holden Hall at Michigan State to move in our son Jack. So you get the half hour, you get the sweet parking spot, and apparently that's the half hour you get the tubs too. You get the big tubs, put a bunch of stuff in. So
that's some pressure to get all that done in a half hour.
Yeah, well, I mean, you don't right. Yeah, and it'll be interesting. I'll be very interested to see, like, is everybody else following along with just a half hour and they're out of there? Like, is it being enforced? I mean, to get the big stuff in, it should be fine. If you actually get a good spot, you get a tub, yeah, it should be fine. And then, you know, you can stay in there and do whatever you want in your room forever. But, sure. But yeah, so anyway, that's about, we're less than 5 hours from saying goodbye to our child, our oldest child. And so... I think it's only fitting that this rant is me giving advice for my son. But I hopefully this can apply to anyone starting college. I guess I'm just, he's not, it's not like he's listening to me right now. I think is he still sleeping? Probably. So I guess I'll tell him these later. And this may be bad advice, but what the hell. So here we go. Never schedule a class before 10:20 a.m. if you can help it.
Yes. Amen.
Hydrate, mix in the waters. Always chain your bike, even if you're late to class. Be prompt. Don't be late to class. Respond promptly to emails or people reaching out about various things. Respond, even if you don't have an answer. Say, hey, I don't have an answer. Thanks for emailing me. I'll get back to you. Talk to different kinds of people. Get involved and do things for other people. Go listen to a guest speaker on a random topic. Go see bands you've never heard of. Eat food you've never tried before. Do not ever drink Milwaukee's Best. Do not eat a bunch of jalapenos and then slam a huge glass of whole milk unless you are able to sit there for a few moments afterward.
The buzz is worth it.
Clean your bathroom more than once a semester, for crying out loud. Call your mother. Read things other than things that are on your phone. Go to professors' office hours, or at least speak to your professors other than stammering out answers when you're called upon in class. Take advantage of the starchy food in the dorm cafeteria. Embrace gaining that 20 pounds. And yeah, even though it fills you up, squirrel away those cookies and little cereal boxes for the dorm room. Take the napkin. Go ahead. Put it in your pocket. Yes, you want to do that. And yes, you will keep the Phone Finder app on your phone. Don't wash red and pink things with white loads, for the love of God. If you have a keg party at your house or apartment, make sure someone is in charge of guarding the tap. If you steal a keg tap, make sure you're with a large group of people. And finally, have the time of your life, because this will be stressful. It will be busy. There is pressure. But after this, it's bills and it's mortgages and job interviews. And if you're as blessed as we are, it's raising kids like you. So
I knew we'd get there at some point this week. It's an emotional time for Joe Rexer this week. Proud of Jack, though. It's a big day for Jack, and we're excited for him moving into Michigan State. It's going to be a fun time. Look, Michelle, I think the number one thing I miss about college, and Joe just brought it up there, and I didn't recognize it at the time, the ability to just walk into a cafeteria and get whatever food that you wanted to get and just do it is amazing to me. And now, as we sit here today, I'm at the age of almost 30. Why I didn't appreciate that more back in the day than I do now is just unbelievable to me.
Listen, I would get stir fry and then also pizza and a chicken patty with a salad. You have
metabolism
many different
too. That's the other
options.
Thing.
But I think also too, just on the college point, first off, the things I would do to go back to college. It was amazing. But I think being like kind of freshly out of it, I guess you could say, is you look back and you realize like, damn, that was so awesome. And I'm so thankful for my family and parents for making me, you know, be able to get to go to college and stuff, because some people aren't awarded that. But it's going to be an amazing, Jack is going to grow so much. Just an awesome time here on the program.
LD from McMinnville on the text line says, good rant, solid advice. We just moved our sixth and youngest into ETSU this past week. The sixth and youngest. Hashtag
wow.
Empty nest. Rob from Clarksville on the text line says, Milwaukee's best slander will not be tolerated on this beautiful Friday morning. This is from Rob from Clarksville on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
Well, let me just say, and boy, sorry that, you know, I really didn't think that was going to happen, but let me just say.
Oh, I did. I knew it would happen at some point this week.
You know, when I was 18 years old, my stomach was like, I mean, it was absolutely impenetrable, okay? Like, I mean, you compare stomach strength and endurance and just ability. Like, okay, back then, hot sauce, habanero, jalapeno, whatever you got. Yes, load it on. Hottest food you get, whatever you want, like anything you could think of. Iron stomach, okay? Yeah. 18 years old. Milwaukee's best? Destroyed it.
Is that a beer? I don't even know what it is.
Oh, yeah.
Basically, and then this is, it's probably, I'm sure like it's different now, but at that time period, essentially for the most part, keggers at Michigan State in the 90s would have Milwaukee's best. It was the cheapest keg you could get at the keg, you know, at the keg store.
It's very efficient from a money standpoint.
Natty so, Lights too.
Yeah, and it's a similar quality, but honestly, that Natty Light's fine. Now, if you went a little bit fancy, then you got the Busch Light. Okay.
Oh yeah.
Now, here and there, if someone had like Bud Light or you know or Milwaukee MGD, Miller Genuine Draft or you know Ice House or something, that's like whoa, man, whoa, take it easy. Milwaukee's best was the standard, and if I had one of those right now, I'd probably internally combust.
I have one to add to your list.
So
Joe.
Not only did Rob from Clarksville not going to be very happy with Joe, he just continued on the Milwaukee's best slander.
Well, I'm impressed with you. You're beyond the human race if you can handle it. All right, go. What do you got, Michelle?
Go ahead, Michelle.
Do not drink the jungle juice out of the bathtub.
Oh, that's probably good advice.
Yes.
That's
or probably. Out of the garbage can.
Yes. Right. Right.
And good job. Do it, Kentucky.
Yeah. Yep. Let's drink it out of canned or bottles. I think that's a good, or kegs, I guess.
Yeah. And just, kind of know what's going in, I think is probably a good, that's kind of a catch all, right?
Yes. That's a good one.
Cause that stuff can be made to taste basically just like Kool-Aid with some of the worst quality liquors in the world.
Yeah. Cole from Clarksville on the text line says, Joe needs to give his son enough weekly allowance to purchase beer better than Milwaukee's best and Busch Ice. Now we're getting into encouraging illegal behavior on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
Well, hey, he's got a job. So
that's right.
Know, that's what, you know, he's got employment. So that's a good thing.
That is a very good thing. I'm sitting here. I'm thinking back, like, now that you brought up the stomach thing, like it's incredible how much I used to be able to eat in a day and not think twice about it. That may be the thing about being younger that I miss the most. I could just eat whatever I want to with zero fear of consequence.
Yes. No, I mean, it's amazing. The metabolism at that age. Yeah, I mean, I know it's different for different people, but Jack's kind of like me, you know, like at some point, he will be able to put weight on. I still couldn't when I went to college. And then, I very much could. College made that very possible.
Congratulations to Jack. Got a lot of people, according to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, going through a similar experience as you are Rex Road this year and this week. So congratulations to all those freshmen going into the world of college. We wish you the best, and we'll always be here for you on Robbie and Rex Road. Only program in town that's here for you.
There's a lot of good stuff on the text line, by the way. Keith's talking about OE. Oh yeah. Don't even get into that. So
this has been the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Titans cornerback Caleb Farley. Looking forward to that. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
It's 10:01 a.m. on a Monday, all at once. Your sales leader needs to know which deals are at risk, your PM wants feature adoption by cohort, and your CFO needs one last graph for the board. Now your data team has to say no to somebody. Hex changes that. Ask any data question in plain English and get an analyst-grade response, all backed by your actual business context as defined by your data team. Start saying yes to more data questions at hex.ai.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money